stay seated or stay standing. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so you just have to bear with me this morning. We're going to sing Just As Long As I Have Breath, which is number 6 in your gray hymnal, the words up here. This is our hymn for the month of resilience, which begins today. When we thought about what's our hymn for March, it was obvious that this would be the one. We say yes, even though. Let's sing.
John is going to light our chalice this morning. John is 6 years old, and he loves snow. He loves to build snowmen. The flaming chalice is the symbol of our faith, a beacon of truth, a fire for justice, a warmth for the soul. As the chalice is lit, let us speak through the covenant of our church. Love is the spirit of this church, and reason is its guide to dwell together in peace, to seek truth and freedom, and to serve human need. This is our covenant. Now let's sing together our chalice response song.
We gather together in worship. This is the 1st of March, believe it or not, spring right around the corner, believe it or not. We gather together in worship that we might sing and be still, wonder and hope, comfort and challenge. We gather together with our hearts open, closed, somewhere in between, wondering, possibility, fear, longing. And we ask for the spirit of love, known to each of us in our own way, to come and be with us, to hold us in mercy and in encouragement, in sympathy and in courage. We let that spirit flow through us, between us, present in the face and eyes and voice of one another, in the holy beyond our reckoning, in our living tradition and our future hope. We gather together in worship. Let us worship together.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The story we have for you today is one of my childhood favorites, The Little Red Caboose. The little red caboose always came last. First came the big black engine, puffing and chuffing, and then came the boxcars, and then the oil cars, and then the coal cars, and then the flat cars. And sometimes they were switched around in different ways. But the little red caboose, it was always last. Boys and girls waved at the big black engine. They listened to the boxcars and the oil cars and the coal cars and the flat cars go clickety-clack. But by the time the little red caboose came along, the boys and girls were turning away because the little red caboose always came last. "Oh, smoke," said the little red caboose. "I wish I were a flat car, or a coal car, or a box car, or an oil car, so the little boys and girls would wave at me. How I wish I were the big black engine, puffing and chuffing up, up, up at the front of the train. But I'm just the little old red caboose, and nobody cares for me." One day the train started up a mountain. Up went the big black engine, up went the box cars, up went the oil cars and the coal cars, up went the flat cars, and up went the little red caboose. "Hang on tight, little caboose," called the flat car. "There is a long, tall mountain, and you are the last car on the train." "Don't I know it," said the little red caboose. "Poor me." And the train went up, but it went up slower and slower and slower. Soon, it was hardly moving. It looked as if that train could not get up this mountain. "Look out, caboose," called the flat car. "The train is starting to slip back down this tall, tall mountain." "Not if I can help it," said the little red caboose, and he slammed on his brakes, and he held tight to the tracks, and he kept that train from sliding down the mountain. Then bump! The little red caboose felt someone push him from behind. It was two big black engines, and they pushed the train up to the top of the mountain. "We couldn't have done it," said the big black engines, "if it hadn't been for that little red caboose." Everyone cheered, and the little red caboose nearly bursted with pride. Now children wave at the big black engine and at all the cars, but now they always wave and save their biggest waves for the little red caboose that saved the train. The end. Please join us in singing hymn 110, "This Little Light of Mine," as the children go down for religious education.
It is our month of resilience. And when I think of what it means to me to be a person of resilience, I think of how I've pushed through life to become a person that I am, and the person who people have come to respect. I come from a humble background where my mother raised 7 of us alone. It was her care, concern, and love that helped us remain tight-knit as a family, and it helped us become resilient early on. The village of people in Fairgrounds Housing Development that helped raise me as a child was a modern-day African village that has some of us, that gave some of us the determination, strength, and mystery that has helped African people of African descent maintain and persevere for a long time. I am fortunate to be able to tap into this magical energy that exists within us all. Knowing also that this community and this country needs people who are willing to be strong for others has helped me be more resilient. As a human rights activist, I tap into my own inner strength to be a leader and a voice for others who are unheard, living in poverty, or disenfranchised. Tapping into my creative energy has helped me be more resilient just the same. It connects me to the plight of our communities and pushes me to work with those who are working to change things or to make things better. All of our creative energies can be used as empowering forces to aid us all in these trying times. I encourage you to think about how you can be a person of resilience and use that resilience to make things better in your communities and your neighborhoods. Now let's sing together, Rise in Body or Spirit, and we'll sing 1009 in the Blue Hymnal, Meditation on Breathing.
While we often stand, I think I'll have you sit for this. Because of what we're singing. This is a musical meditation, and it's easier to meditate if you're comfortable. And I think you'll be more comfortable if you're seated. We've done this a couple of times, but I think it still warrants a little instruction. So the melody is the top line, and we'll go through that in a second. I wouldn't worry about that middle line where it says descant. Let the sopranos take care of that since the choir's here. But you also have the drone line. And the idea of this is it's musical meditation. It's a chance for you to think about the sound that's coming out of you as you sing and the breath that's going in and the breath that's going out with that sound. It's all, you are a magnificent instrument, whether you think you are or not, right? In that we have this ability to breathe and breathe out, breathe in and breathe out. So those of you who want to sing that drone part, it goes like this. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Keep doing that. And the melody goes like this. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. Breathe in. You may sing whatever you'd like. Pick whichever part you'd like. I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in,
invite you in that spirit of meditation to breathe, to continue to do so, to lay aside your books and papers, to place your feet on the ground, to feel the power of the earth which flows through the earth and the concrete and the wood and the glass, the bones and the flesh of your own self. Through the molecules of air that come in and out of your lungs and in and out of your blood, giving you power and life. We ask that the spirit of life, that power that flows through us, be with us. That we come into awareness of that power always present. We ask that it heal those in sorrow, those who mourn the losses of friends, loved ones, family members, who hold them in memory, the spirit of healing to be with us. We ask that spirit give courage to the discouraged and strength to those who think they are weak. Hope to those who are in fear. That tomorrow may not need be as yesterday. The pattern need not repeat. The horizon may be broader. For those beginning great adventures, we hope that spirit will give you courage and perseverance and the spirit of sharing, to bring that joy into the world in need, to bring your strength to the world in need. And we come with the spirit of thanksgiving for the gifts of life, the beauty of each other and the earth, song and silence, love and hope and laughter. With these hopes and these thanksgivings, we center ourselves and allow ourselves to be quiet and still for a moment. May the spirit of love be with us this day and every day. Amen. Two readings this morning. The first, a poem by Katia Kapovich entitled A Change of Wind. On the eighth day, he coined the word alone and saw that it was as good as everything else. A yellow school bus rattled down the lane. A wind blew in a drain pipe, strong, mellifluous. I brought two empty crates to the parking lot, watched neighbors with briefcases and car keys. At noon, a mailman passed where I sat, invisible, like a tree among trees. Why, I asked. I wanted to know why, but only scared a squirrel that dropped his acorn when my voice broke silence unexpectedly. A white noise in a wireless telephone. My club soda went flat in the bottle. With a spit of rain, a wind blew again from the lake. I raised my index finger and touched it, pleading, "Give me a break. Give me a break." The second reading from the Tao Te Ching, number 29. If you try to grab hold of the world and do what you want with it, you won't succeed. The world is a vessel for spirit, and it wasn't made to be manipulated. Tamper with it and you'll spoil it. Hold it and you'll lose it. With Tao, sometimes you move ahead and sometimes you stay back. Sometimes you work hard and sometimes you rest. Sometimes you're strong and sometimes you're weak. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. The sage remains sensitive, avoiding extremes, avoiding extravagance, avoiding excess. That sends the readings.
And I will lift my weary eyes.
Thank you. Every day, every hour, someone is laid low. You sit on the crate in the parking lot unnoticed and put your finger up to the wind and pray, "Give me a break. Give me a break." Hard times. Sometimes the hard times come in a bang, all at once. You're going along with your day, and then the mail comes, the phone rings, the doctor, the lawyer, the loved one says, "I have news." Now your world is different. Sometimes the hard times come drip, drip, drip. The bad news, bad luck, builds. You get stuck in a situation and don't know how to get out. Fear replaces hope, and you wonder not just how you'll get through today or this week or this year, but how you'll get through life like this. Every day, every hour, someone is laid low. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. This is life. How many of you have ever had hard times? A tough day, a tough year, bad news, all at once over time. Go ahead, raise your hands if you ever had hard times. Everyone faces them. Everyone. When I was in seminary, those many years ago, I remember talking about this. How was I supposed to relate, I wondered, I was 22 at the time, to folks who've had tragedy when I haven't? This was the question I asked my professors, and two things were said to me. First, don't be in denial. I hadn't faced what I'd call tragedy, but I'd faced challenges. Just because they were not as big as some folks' as challenges didn't mean they weren't real. So please don't deny the reality of the hard times you might face just because it could be worse. Sometimes that makes it harder to come to grips. Second, my professors and the older students who were there, and they were all older than I was, said, "Don't worry that you haven't faced life challenges yet. You will. You just have to live longer." Well, they were right about that, too. Live long enough and there will be hard times. That's just the way it is. Well, those many years ago in seminary, we had a conversation then about that age-old question, why do bad things happen to good people? More importantly, what do we say to folks when bad things happen? When we become real ministers, we wondered, what do we say? The professor who'd spent 40 years in parish ministry said, "You don't really say anything. If something needs to be said, you can say, 'This sucks.' Sometimes life sucks. And you didn't deserve it. And it's not part of a plan. It just happened. And the question is, now what?" I have 12 years of ministry now under my belt, not yet 40, but I know that my professor was right. I've sat with you and with others when times are hard, when life sucks. And you don't come usually looking for absolution or explanation. You and I are reassured by not being alone. We just need an ear, one without judgment. And then we might say, now what? I've seen folks face hard times pretty often now, you and family and friends and colleagues and my own self, and I can see now the patterns. Some folks get through, get stronger, heal, recover, grow, and survive. It's not a straight line, ups and downs, but they move forward. Others don't. They remain stuck. They get knocked down and they don't get back up. This week and next, I want to share with you what I've seen and what I know about resilience, about what it takes to have strength in hard times. Next week, we're going to talk more about friendship and community and how we help each other have that resilience and how we form a community of resilience. But today, I want to talk more about the personal. about the interior life, about the habits of soul, the perspective and the power that helps us not just get through it, but get stronger and healthier and wiser because we've faced hard times with spiritual resilience. The good news is that folks do overcome obstacles. Every day, every hour, someone is laid low. And every day, every hour, someone gets back up, takes life on, and goes on. Disappointment pierces through, but they still kept on loving. Though with pain we make our way, still with hope we meet the day. Every day, every hour, folks find inner strength, the equanimity and the courage to face challenges, to stay true to themselves, to hold on and build a better life. This is good news because you can do it too. You can. If your hard times are not past tense, but right now, you can get through. You can find the strength, and you will be stronger and wiser for it. You can. Others have every day, and you can too. I believe in you, and I know you can do it. You might need to ask for help, but you can do it. Where does our help come? We lift our eyes and seek out that strength and wisdom. Where does it come from? There's a fable attributed to Aesop, although there are many tellings of it, the tree and the reed. "Well, little one," said a tree to a reed that was growing at its foot, "why do you not plant your feet deeply in the ground and raise up your head boldly in the air as I do?" "I'm contented with my lot," said the reed. "I may not be grand, but I think I am safer." "Safe," sneered the tree. "Who shall pluck me up by the roots or bow my head to the ground?" But soon it had to repent of its boasting, for a hurricane arose which tore it up from its roots and cast a useless log on the ground, while the little reed, bending to the force of the wind, soon stood upright again when the storm had passed over. You'll find a version of this parable in every culture. An old Mandarin proverb says, "The tree that does not bend with the wind will be broken by the wind." There's a similar West African proverb, and pretty much anywhere you'll find a story like this. Personal resilience isn't about invulnerability, in other words. It's not about thinking that nothing will ever go wrong. The folks who bounce back from tragedy, they do take time to grieve, to mourn, to wail in the dirt, to gnash their teeth, and then they get up and start living. They don't spend too much time saying, "Why me?" They don't say, "It's not fair. Life isn't fair." And anyone who says differently is selling something. Like the reed that bends, they adapt. They ride out the storm, and then they get to work getting upright again. I've seen people who face tragedy, people I love and know well, and years later, decades later, the story of the bad day, the tragedy, remains the central event of their lives. What happened to me? But folks with personal resilience, on the other hand, make the story of their life about overcoming the tragedy, what they learned, how they grew, how they became stronger. It isn't what happened to me, it's what I became. They take the truth of the Tao Te Ching or Ecclesiastes, "Sometimes you are up, sometimes you are down, for everything there is a season," and they avoid the excesses, the yo-yo of feeling successful or like a failure based on the circumstances of the present moment. They breathe. They slow down. They breathe. They take the long view. And know that some days you put one foot in front of the other, and then you look back and you see how far you've come. You might go along for a while, poor me, I am always last, but then you discover a strength you forgot you had and embrace your unique power to stop the train from coming back down the mountain. You're not an engine, maybe, and need their help, but you matter. You're stronger than you know. And after that day, whatever that day is, after that awakening, you believe in yourself. A sense of perspective, a willingness to change and adapt to the new reality, to not hold on to a past that can no longer be, an ability to see that joy and sorrow are both natural parts of life, neither cynics nor naive Pollyannas, that take life as it comes, build on what's good, and try to do right without expectation of universal success. These are the qualities of the resilient person, the reed who bends with the wind. Now, before I say too much more, I need to deal with a difficult issue, the issue of justice, the issue of evil, an issue of what we call theodicy, the problem of evil. Some hard times are randomly dealt out to everyone. Bad things just happen, and it doesn't matter who you are. But some hard times are deeply unjust. They're a consequence of systems of oppression and violence and theft and racism and sexism. It's not credible for me, a well-educated, middle-class, able-bodied male, to say, just roll with the changes. Resilience is easy, no problem. I've got it pretty easy in terms of how society is structured. Got lots of advantages I haven't earned, which other folks don't have. Makes it easier for me to overcome challenges. I have social and material resources that others don't, and not because of my own effort, at least not entirely. And the lack of those resources for others isn't always their fault. It's often centuries of past and current injustice. So for those of us who find overcoming challenges to be easier because of our social privilege, we have a justice obligation to make it easier for others too. And for those of us who don't have so many privileges, I think it is important to see the justice context of our own lives and to work against that injustice, of course. And it is important to not let injustice become fate. Don't let the bastards win, in other words. In education, they talk about a resiliency model of poverty, about how folks with challenges can develop strong resiliency instead of a deprivation model where we just assume they're unable because it's just been too bad. That's what Christopher was talking about in his testimony. It's a good way to think about it. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. But we can make it more fair for us and for everyone, and we should. There's another dozen sermons in that idea, of course, and I preached and will preach them. But this question of social injustice leads to another sticky wicket with personal resilience, the problem of evil, the problem of God's grace or lack thereof, if you will. We look to the hills, the Lord who will keep us safe. But the Lord doesn't come, or at least we're not all kept safe. And then what? This is complicated. If you were to ask many people how did they get through hard times, they'd tell you without a doubt they did it with the help of God. God healed me. God gave me strength, they'll say. You've probably all heard people say this, and some of us have said it ourselves or something like it. In the depths of my despair, I felt the presence of the Holy and was healed of my sorrow, given courage, experienced a love beyond belief. And that's how I overcame the challenges before me. I've said that and meant it or something like it. Some of us have experienced the Holy as a source of strength. Others of us have not had that experience. Don't expect it, don't want it. No, thank you very much. We don't look to the hills for the Lord. Some of us, we find a source of strength elsewhere in our own being, in the universe itself, in friends, in beauty, in reason, and science. I think, first, it's important that we don't denigrate whatever source of strength that people find. If an ancient mantra helps you, I won't mock it. If God is your strength, I'm glad you have it. If a rigorous commitment to science gives you perspective and peace, that is wonderful. Your source doesn't need to be the same or have the same name as mine. Second, though, I think the problem of evil, the problem of selective favor, is real. Every day, every hour, someone faces hard times. Every day, every hour, someone is laid low. And every day, every hour, someone bounces back, becomes stronger, faces their challenges, and grows as a person. And sometimes, folks don't. And I can't subscribe to a God or a holy power or a universe in which that's the plan. I can't accept a divinity that blesses some with inner strength and curses others without it. The notion that God would cure some cancers but not others, or help some folks get jobs but not others, or give peace to some but not others, is as ridiculous to me as the notion that God would cause one sports team to win and the other to lose. I don't buy it. Instead of a God that rewards and punishes, if we want to say that we find our help in the holy, and I personally do want to say that, then I think that we say that grace, the peace, the strength, the wisdom of the Spirit, that energy flows through all things and is present to everyone, in good times and hard times both. It doesn't solve our problems or interfere in our lives, but we can call on the presence in our hour of need as a source of resilience and ultimate hope. And everyone can, if they wish, and it won't change the world as it is, but it might change us. Change our attitude from fear to hope, from resentment to acceptance, from being stuck to moving forward. And if we change in that way, then we can, more often than otherwise, overcome the hard days and nights which are dealt to us. That's what I think, anyway. The good news is that people do get through the hard times. Disappointment does pierce us through. Betrayal, pain, and misfortune are all real. It does happen. And you can stay stuck there forever if you want to. But ugh. It's not what your life is for. Thriving as a person is your birthright. Not perfection, not ease, not happiness every minute of every day, but thriving. So bend with the storm. Grieve and mourn and gnash your teeth when you need to for a while, and then get up, dust yourself off, begin again, one step at a time. The good news is that people do get through the hard times. I've seen it. They grow wiser and stronger and more gracious. They accept what is and then reach for what can be. They adapt, like the reed in the wind, and rise again, like the spring that is waiting under the snow and the cold, but will come for us. They find the power within themselves and from the Spirit of life and power according to their own understanding. And they let that power feed their best self. They fight injustice and live with compassion for themselves and others, but are filled too with life's gratitude, even in the hardest days and nights. The good news is that you can do it too. You can accept, adapt, dig deep, become the person you need to be and hope to be for the next chapter of your life. You can. You will. There's a power in each of us and between each of us that's stronger than circumstance and wiser than despair, a hope more real than fear. Feel that power flow through your being. Know it's real. And know you can go on and do what must be done. You can go on and become, and that your soul will unfurl its wings. We're going to sing together. I know this rose will open. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. May be seated. It's been wonderful to be with you in worship this morning. As we begin our month on resilience, I invite you to think about what that means for you. What resilience do you need? Where have you found its source throughout your life? If you want to go deeper into that question, I encourage you to join a spirit journey group, and there's information about that in the program at the desk. Lots of things coming up in the life of the church. Most of those are in your program, but I want to highlight a week from today in the afternoon, the Western Crescent Unitarian Universalist Choir Festival will be here at this church at 4 o'clock, right? And love to have you here. Five or six choirs will be singing together, and it'll be fabulous. So please come to that. If you're new with us, we're so glad to have you here. Welcome. Hope you checked in with Belle on your way in to find out more about the programs and activities of this church and so that we can be in touch. Next week, we'll be talking about resilience some more, about community, about the strength of resilience that comes from one another and the way that we help each other, friendship. You know someone in your life who needs to hear something like that, so bring them. We would love to have them here. This morning's offering will be shared with Whirlwind Wheelchair. Whirlwind Wheelchair. So close, and yet so far. Whirlwind Wheelchair helps folks around the world who don't have mobility to have it, to build durable, repairable wheelchairs for folks in need. It's led by Ralph Hotchkiss, who many of you know. And we're thrilled to share our offering on that spirit of resilience and overcoming challenge with them this morning. The offering will now be received. Thank you. I will extinguish the chalice, but not the light of truth or the warmth of community or the fire of commitment. These things, like the spirit within us, we carry with us as we go from this place. While I do that, I invite you to rise in body or spirit, hold hands, put your hand on the shoulder of the person next to you for our benedictions. Our spoken benediction are words from the Reverend Wayne Arneson, a preview of next week's message and a reminder for today. Take courage, friends. The way is often hard, the path is never clear, and the stakes are very high. Take courage, for deep down there is another truth. You are not alone. We'll sing together our sung benediction. Go your way in peace.